على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق ونور عرش أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. I begin in Allah's name, the beneficent, the merciful, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us not out of need, but out of a desire from Him due to His infinite mercy. And He has given us the faculties and the abilities with which to continue to reap through our own transactions to elevate our standards through trials and tribulations. We find that if we don't have such trials and tribulations, we die. You'll find even men, especially when they retire, if they don't have anything to be tried with, challenges in life, they age very quickly and they die because they feel there's nothing else for them to do in this world. You will find generally people when they retire, if they're not busy with some kind of philanthropy, women too, the same thing, if they don't get involved in constant struggles of trying to promote good and forbid evil, they die sooner. They cease to function effectively. So Allah in the Quran gives us a beautiful encouragement. Says, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. O mankind, keep struggle upon struggle until you meet your Lord. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. So life is about struggles. And in these four nights, I mentioned I'm going to touch and maintain this subject, the philosophy of struggle, trials and tribulations, problems. How do we get strength to manage this bull that keeps charging towards us? How do we get the strength to meet the bull by the horns, as we say? And how do we manage it? Because we have a tendency to escape it. We have a tendency to not like such trials and tribulations. We have a tendency to feel very vulnerable. As we say, vulnerabilities is one of our greatest weaknesses. If you see human social behavior, especially misbehavior, it is actually a camouflage to hide the vulnerabilities. People who have what we call inferiority complex, people who show off and they tell you how great they are, actually have a very serious problem with vulnerabilities. They have lack of security, as we say. They don't have the strength to be who they are. They have to camouflage and project something they are not, because that's the only way they get this false sense of security. You find people who lie, who cheat. You will see they do that in order to hide their vulnerabilities, because they want to escape the realities. And in terms of entities out there that are destructive as a result of that, you will notice people indulge in alcohol. Alcohol consumption, if you ask anybody who consumes alcohol, it is precisely to escape the problems of life. Because alcohol is an ugly drink. With due respect, it's a drink, but it stinks. It's got nothing beautiful in it. I mean, they dress it up nicely, on the rocks, they call it, you know. But it's ugly. There's nothing about it. It's usually found in places that are immodest, indecent, in treacherous places where much evil takes place. In good places, even among Christians and Jews and atheists who don't drink alcohol, you will see they're usually good people. Now, I'm not saying those who drink are bad people, but it is one of the indicators of an individual running away from good. Let's put it that way. It's fair. So what ends up happening is that people who are escapists are escaping their inner vulnerabilities. When Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum, which I stated yesterday, you will see that this is at the core of all conversations. When we commemorate the shahada of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, and we are sad that so much injustice took place, and we are sad that the ultimate role model was abused, and yes, our heart weeps. But what is the object of the weeping? For Allah says, لا تقول لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. Don't say those who die in the path of God are dead. No, they are alive, but you can't see them. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam succeeded. He's chosen. Paradise is guaranteed. In fact, he and his brother are Sayyid al-Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. They are the leaders of the youth in paradise, and they will only be youth in paradise. So they are leaders in paradise. They have succeeded. So then why do we cry every year, every time when the event of Karbala comes? People who really understand it, they weep. And those who don't understand it, who are in the ritual of weeping, even they weep because they know there's something tragic here and we should weep. You know, if we ever go watch a movie, a fictitious movie, where a child or a family is being butchered in the movie and they are being abused, though it's fiction, if you and I don't feel sad, even in a fictitious movie, there's something wrong with us. If we are dry-eyed and we don't feel the pain. Now, you know, this is fiction, this event of an orphan being taken. But you know such things do happen, and therefore we generalize the notion that such an event, though it's fiction, were it to happen, and it does happen, I vociferously reject it by feeling pain in my heart as the first step, that I refuse to accept such oppression. Doesn't it culminate at the end of the day to me, to what my heart feels? Imam Ali alayhi salam says, مَا جَفَّتِ الدَّمُعُ إِلَّا لِقَسْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ وَمَا قَسَدِ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَّا لِكَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ. Tears don't come out, see, when hearts are hard. And hearts don't get hard unless they are filled with sin. كَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ, Imam Ali alayhi salam says. So the point is that when we move away from sin, lying, cheating, camouflaging, fooling ourselves, avoiding the vulnerabilities, instead of facing them correctly, indulging in more evil with the idea that maybe if I indulge in such evil, it will give me this temporary pleasure, which hopefully will go away tomorrow, only for us to find ourselves later on that we've dug a deeper hole, and now we are so deep we can't get out. But we should cry. But why are we crying? We cry because it touches the soul, the fitrah. That such injustice is unacceptable. Allah says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them don't know. Don't understand. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Why? Allah says they don't ponder. We are so what we call impulsive. Why do you think Hollywood thrives? Hollywood and the movie industry and all these game industry is and the commercial industry is designed to take advantage of our vulnerabilities. Pornography is the biggest business online. Biggest on earth. Nothing competes with pornography. Vulnerability. They play with vulnerabilities. They make us susceptible to it. Why do people in the billions fall for the vulnerabilities? Because they haven't spent time reflecting the meaning and the purpose of life. If you and I spend time to reflect, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you and I, standing, sitting, lying on our sides, were to do this as the Ulil Albab have done according to the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. The creation, the alternations of the night and day are signs for people deeply rooted in knowledge. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Who are the Ulil Albab? How do you and I become Ulil Albab? What we call the people of the gates, the doors. Doors of what? Knowledge. Ulil Albab, Quran calls them highly, people with high wisdom. Who are they? Prophets, imams, ultimate Ulil Albab. Who are they? The companions who are very close to the prophets and the imams. Ashab al-Kahf, for example. You see? Habib Najjar, mentioned in Surah Yasin. These are the, what we call, the ones with deep knowledge. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ. They reflect, standing, sitting, lying on their sides. Why did you create me, my God? What's my purpose? Why do I have problems? I know we all do this. Even the one who goes to drink and does wrong things, they think. They're not oblivious of thinking, trust me. I've spoken to alcoholics. You know, people who are severely in alcoholic, problems, alcohol addictions, as we call it, drug addictions, they reflect. They know they are in trouble. The problem is when you talk to them often, so how did you get here? He says, well, my dad, my mom, usually it's a friend or usually in the house where the drinking starts, and the family just perpetuates the sickness. Or this child was abused, and they were severely abused, and they had no escape. And therefore, they had to resort to such means. Prostitution is another problem. It's an abuse. Today, human trafficking. There's more human trafficking today than in the history of the human race. We have more slaves today than we ever had. You know that? You think, no, slavery was abolished. No, it's underground. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. Human trafficking. There are wicked, wretched people controlling human traffics. And you know where their main source of revenue comes? War-torn places. Orphans, they take them. Mass exodus, what's happening in Syria today. 4 million Syrians are displaced because of some whimsical idea of some warmongers who want to come and just bomb. You see? With no thinking that you're going to displace 4 million people. They get on the seas and they drown just to run away from this bala. The children's bodies are washing to the shores. Right? You find many of them are taken into the human slave trade. It tears my heart. I don't care, black child, white child, brown child, yellow child, tall, short. Nobody should be subjected to this tyranny. Nobody. But it's happening. So the Quran is warning us. Why is such treachery happening? You and I respond, Allah, you take care of it. You're almighty. Allah responds to me, no, you take care of it. I said, Allah, I'm weak. Allah says, I made you strong. Don't fool yourself. Oh, Allah, I'm full of vulnerabilities. Allah says, come to me. إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. And if Allah doesn't help you, who else is there to help you? So the conversation here to solve our vulnerability problems is a beautiful discussion that we need to discuss what we call intellectually, بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, with kind exhortations and understanding, that those who are drinking alcohol and doing drugs, they have also asked for answers.
But there haven't been institutions out there giving them the right answers, which led them to greater confusions, which led them to go astray because they had apathy in the system. They went to the religious institutions and they found themselves to be abused often. Today, so many children are abused in so-called religious institutions in the generic sense of the word. You know, and we know what we're talking about. And we need to straighten it. And Allah has blessed us with a system which is the best. And we have a golden opportunity that while we gather to commemorate and celebrate these great personalities of prophets and imams, that Allah has gifted us with a unique flag and says, you are endowed with the best knowledge. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ صَلَوَاتَ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدُ. How do we do it? It's a broad subject, but I want to say it because you see our young generation today asking questions. Does God really exist? Where is he? I've got all these problems. I've been praying for my parents to stop fighting. They don't stop fighting. I met a boy in Michigan who declared his atheism at the age of 15. He says, I'm an atheist. I met him. I said, why? He said, there is no God. I said, why do you say that? What's your logic? Well, he tried to be scientific about it. But for a 15-year-old, it's a good attempt to be scientific. And fortunately, he was put in the corner very easily. And he realized he cannot articulate science. Because science is one of the signs of Allah. It's not against Allah. It's his system. I mean, ayati, one of his signs. Allah says, travel, see, you see, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرِ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ ثُمَّ رَجِعِ الْبَصَرِ قَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَوَحَسِيرٌ. You'll come back dazzled with my science. Science is not bad. It's a magnificent tool. Whoever said science is bad? It's either science or religion. This is a lie. It's a satanic lie. Exclusions. People ask me, is it creation or evolution? Which one is it? I said, evolution is a created system. Oh, so you don't condemn evolution? No, evolution is part of the system. It's a created system. What's your problem? Whoever stipulated that from nothing comes nothing and that evolution will just from nothing come out and decide to move in a trajectory of sustenance and maintaining life. What are you talking about? Oh, but then what started that? I said, go back and see. You'll have an infinite regression problem. It's a very basic science argument. It's nothing serious. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. But often we don't articulate this. We damn and condemn dinosaurs. We condemn the Big Bang. We say it's one of the theories. It's possible. Or it may not have happened. So what? Oh, but Big Bang, it's the way. Okay. Let us say it is the way. Quran alludes to it, but we can't say that's the Big Bang. But we can say, hey, it's alluding to it. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَ رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Do the disbelievers not see that the earth and sky was once one? And we opened it. And we made every living thing out of water. Today we know that the origins of life is water. The precursor to life and the maintenance of life, metabolic processes, requires H2O, the most polar substance known to man. And it's the most odd molecule because it defies even scientific logic. For the two hydrogens should be furthest away. They're at an angle. This is bizarre. And that bizarre nature causes water to behave differently, which sustains life, that even when water freezes, its density decreases. Hence, it maintains life under it. Allah says, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِي. This is what God has created. Show us what anyone else has created. But this young boy says to me, I'm an atheist. Finally, he admitted. He says, I'm an atheist because every day I'd come from school, I'd pray that my parents are fighting and I want them to stop fighting because I love them both.
and my prayers have not been heard, so I'm angry. So I said, join the gang. We're all a bunch of angry people. Join the club. It's a dime a dozen. Who's not angry around you? Drive on the highway and pass somebody. Cut them off and see if they won't whip out a gun sometimes and shoot you. Or at least give you some explicative that you won't like to hear. We're all angry. We're filled with rage. Rage? I tell you, the toughest thing you and I will ever control in life is rage. Rage? The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The Messenger said, you know, he saw these muscular guys lifting boulders and throwing it in Medina. So they came to him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, come and watch us, how strong we are. And he smiled, he says, none of you are strong. They were throwing boulders. He says, you're not strong. He says, what do you mean? He says, strength is the one who can maintain his anger. That's the strongest person in the world. And Quran says, Wal kadhimin al ghayd, wal afin an nas, wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. They maintain their anger. They swallow their anger. They forgive mankind. God loves the good doers. You think it's easy to hold back anger? You and I cannot hold back anger unless we've accounted for this power. And we've accounted for our existence. And we've accounted for our own soul and what is the duty of this soul. If you and I don't have time to reflect on that and to try to struggle to find the right answers, then you and I will snap. You and I will have apathy. You and I will have doubts. And you and I will run away from Allah. At the snap of a beat, that if things don't go my way, I don't need you, God. Goodbye. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. The believers are those who believe in Allah and the Messenger, then they don't doubt. So what is Allah saying who the believers are? Those who don't doubt. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. I ask us all with due respect, how many of us live a life where we don't doubt in this matter? Allah and Rasulullah. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. And here's the corollary to the lack of doubt. وَجَاهَدُوا. And they struggle. بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ. With their wealth. Their material gains. وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. And their selves. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. For the cause of God. These, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِ. These are the truthful ones. You and I have to ask, how do I reach that state of certainty where if my Lord sends me enormous wealth and makes me a king like Dawood and Sulaiman, or he takes me on the plains of Karbala with my family and I am tested with the potential loss of not only my loved ones but myself, to the degree that my family has to be taken prisoner and chained and dragged city to city, the gravity, Allah says, are you capable of doing that? That comes with certainty. How? Without going too much, this introduction, a lot of times when you lecture, you can't go too deep into matters because the crowd varies. The people's levels of thresholds varies. So you have to introduce it just enough to get a taste with the hope that we will all continue to research it further because there's plenty of knowledge. Quran is the best book among all. Nahjul Balagha is an amazing sister to the Quran that guides us on how to think of the Quran. But these introductions I give is very simple but powerful, and I hope that it will reach the heart بإذن الله صلى الله عليه محمد وعلى محمد. The way you and I will come towards Allah, let's agree as human beings first. So you know, when I talk about, even this young boy is the atheist child, and when he says I'm angry, and when I sat down with him and I explained to him, I said, what if this problem goes away? What if you grapple with the problem? Will your thought about God come back? He said, maybe. I said, you know, you can't escape God. I looked at him, I said, let us say what you say is right. You're angry. So how about we follow your path? He said, what do you mean? I said, let us see everything negative. Let us see the cup is half empty. And let us now be destructive. There is no God. Your prayers are not being accepted. Life is hell. And you're angry. And your decision is to be destructive. How? By rejecting anything positive. Because God is the ultimate positive you can ever imagine. So how about we go your pathway? How about self-destruction? Fana, you don't exist anymore. He said, what do you mean? I said, do you love yourself? He said, yes. I said, that's a contradiction. You are so angry, you should hate yourself. You know, even those who say, I hate myself, actually love themselves. Trust me, the Prophet said, Yawmul Qiyamah, I will say, Ummati, Ummati. Every one of you will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum wakhshaw yawman la yajzi walidun an waladihi wa la mawludun huwa jazin an walidihi shay'an inna wa'dallahi haqq fala taghurrannakum alhayatu ad-dunya wa la yaghurrannakum billahi al-ghurur. What a powerful verse. O mankind, beware of that day when father shall not help the son, nor the son will help the father. Nafsi, nafsi. Your father will stand next to you. Your mother will stand next to you. Your children will stand next to you. You won't know them. You won't care. Because we love ourselves. This conversation and yesterday is about ourselves. We love ourselves. That is enough evidence for the existence of Allah. For we love ourselves not only to the love that we have, but that we want ourselves to exist forever. There is no foreverness in a finite world. Then how do we even think of being forever? Unless this abqa is the one who is forever, how can you and I be forever? So Allah says, you want forever? I give you forever because I am forever. Huwal awwalu wal akhiru. The beginning, the end, there is no beginning. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Allah is the beginning before there was a beginning. And He is the end even after there is an end. For there is no beginning nor end to Allah. Allahu, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The self, we love it. Trust me. The only reason we love our parents, it's noble. It's very noble to love parents. It's very noble to love them and to respect them and to serve them to the last second of their lives. For it is a testament of the mercy of Allah. For if a child cannot love their parents and respond with due respect, then such an individual can never love Allah. For the very hands that fed them, if they cannot be responsive to that, then how can they be responsive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For the very parents were sent as a mercy. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ. The mother suffered pain upon pain. So we should be responsive to that. But the reason we love our parents is because they love us. Ask any child, do you love your mother and father? They said, yes. Why? And the first sentence they'll say, they love me. They feed me, they clothe me, they buy things for me. The word me, if it's not there, it's not a complete sentence. Me. Alaykum anfusakum. Me is the most important thing. Allah says, true. On judgment day, only you will care for yourself. You. Is it wrong? Is it wrong to worry about me? No. Quran is very clear. It's a rahmah. It's a barakah. It's a gift Allah has given us. This selfness is beautiful. But it needs to be directed where it came from. If it is not directed where it originated from, it loses. And how do we direct inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? How do we direct it? By evaluating everything around us. For I love myself too much. Allah says, so what are you going to do? Oh, I think my money will give me safety.
I think my intelligence will get me saved. My muscles, my bones, my power, my intellect, my power of speech. See? Allah says, try all of them. All of them. They're good tools. They'll give you security. Some of the most insecure people are the wealthy. Like this. With due respect. Why? Because they think their wealth gives them. Shaddad and Qarun thought the same thing. When Musa went to them, they said, we don't need God. We have money. God promises paradise. I can build one too. Shaddad said. Allah says, this man thinks he is smart. He didn't even step into his new so-called paradise and he dropped dead. Allah said, look at him. Fir'aun said, I am so smart. I'll call myself God. I'll challenge this God. The soothsayers told me I'll be destroyed by a prophet. I'll kill the prophet. Allah said, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan. Allah plans. He's the best of planners. Allah says, you messing with me? You are the biggest fool on earth. For Fir'aun was the biggest fool on earth. He messed with Allah. Allah says, let me teach you a little lesson. He brings Musa in his own house. Think about it. This man is busy killing firstborn, and he raises the very prophet who's going to destroy him. And then he sinks. As he's sinking, he's asking Allah. Allah says, now, all this time I warned you. I sent you so many messages. And the angels will say, أَلَمْ يَعْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. The angels will ask Fir'aun, didn't warners come to you? He said, yes, but we lied them. We call them liars. قالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. If only we would have paid attention. If only we would have reflected. You and I, my brothers, are blessed with the highest forms of reflection. I travel in academic institutions. I travel among people of different faiths, beautiful people, God-fearing people, loving people who read their own scriptures. But when I listen to them, I say these are loving people. But the knowledge level, the stature of knowledge, the stature of representation we have with prophets and imams is second to none on earth. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Why do I say that? Look at our leaders. Yesterday I mentioned وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. Allah tested Ibrahim with a difficult trial and he completed the trial. Can you imagine? You're old and you have a young, beautiful child called Ismail, your firstborn. And Allah says that through the dream, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ. Ismail is being told by his father, I have got commandments from Allah that I must sacrifice you. This shatters logic. Even academicians say, what logic is this? God is asking a prophet to kill his own son. How does this appear? Allah says, you haven't taken account of my trials. I created you. And you, if you love me, are going to meet the bull by the horns. This trial is the highest form of meeting the bull by the horns. Because it's very difficult to take a child that you love dearly. And look, Allah says, this is not an ordinary tree. This shajaratin mubarakatin zaytunatin la sharqiyatin wa la gharbiyya. This blessed tree, which I have commanded you mankind to follow, is not an ordinary tree. It's not somewhere where you can appoint each other to lead it. No, no. Allah says, I chose it. I protect it. I guide it. And I purify it. I perfect it. And I maintain it as your ultimate role model. But notice from Adam to the last messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From all of them, you go forward, you will see they're suffering, 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 suffering. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when I think about him, the day he was born in the Kaaba, he opened his eyes and the first vision he had was Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet.
And the last vision of the Holy Prophet when he left this dunya was Imam Ali alayhi salam on his face. And I don't remember 63 years of my blessed Imam where he was on vacation. He wasn't vacating. He wasn't having merrymaking. He was constantly establishing justice, equity, tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr. Ultimate examples. No religion in the world has it. No, wallahi, I say this with no compunctions. None. Nothing like this. These events of Karbala are a striking lesson to wake up the self, to say, wake up from your slumber, or you self-being, so that when you meet your Lord on Judgment Day, you will have taken the best examples. That when I love my Ibrahim, who I took him for myself, and Allah says, he's my friend, Khalilullah. Why would Allah ask his best friend on earth to do such an event, to sacrifice his son? Allah says, I test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Translation? We will test you with losses. So let's not complain when we have trials. Oh Allah, why have I a sickness? Why was I born with this inability? Why am I not so beautiful? Why did I not have a father? Why was I born an orphan? You will notice historically some of the greatest human beings on earth were orphans. Ibrahim was an orphan. Holy Prophet was an orphan. Musa was an orphan. All of them, great personalities. Isa, for sure, an orphan. Born an orphan. How such great personality? As Allah says, look, you can't try anybody more than my representatives. So you should look at them as role models, that when you have problems in life, don't turn away from me. Come towards me. Don't be angry with me. Don't say that my parents don't get along because my parents are not accepted. Allah says, I created you. I chose you. I gave you eternity. Allah says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. God has made a call in Surah Ibrahim. Have we not called you and warned you that if you are grateful, you will get more, and if you are ungrateful, you will be punished with a severe punishment? So let's look at the psychology. There is a personality by the name of Brené Brown. You know, she presented on TED a few years ago in 2010, and she got 22 million hits. She's a social scientist who studies human behavior. And she was interviewed, and even Oprah Winfrey likes her a lot, because Brené hits some very critical aspects of the self. And in this presentation, she talks about vulnerabilities of the self. And we human beings, our self is so sacred, we even sincerely lie. Can you imagine? Lying is bad, but we sincerely lie. It's a contradiction. How do you sincerely lie? Because it's so sacred, we'll sincerely lie to protect the self. And we will camouflage it. And she brings a very interesting connotation. She says, America is at the worst state of its existence. We've got more obese people now than even malnutritioned. We've got more drug addicts and more alcoholics. And there is more debt now than ever before in history. Social cancers. Why? Because we can't handle vulnerabilities. We can't handle problems because the society dresses it up with so much pleasure and fun. Don't think, just be impulsive. It's nice, eat it. You have a problem, go eat in the fridge. Just put tons of sugar, just feel good. Next thing, the person is obese and dying. Whereas Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. They are reflecting, wondering, why do we exist? Do you think in our academic institutions, our children are taught to be reflective and introspective? No, it doesn't exist. With due respect, I travel and I go to academic institutions. Children are not encouraged to do that. You like that girl? Go after her. 2 days later, you don't like her? Dump her. Go for the next one. Who cares?
Keep dating. Early dating. Our young communities right here, even in the Muslim communities, you start looking statistics, our children are getting into drugs. Our children are into alcohol. What's the problem? The same problem. There is no reflection. There is no cogitation. There is no encouragement of discussion. There is no struggle to find the right answer and to engage, to meet the bull by the horns, which leads the children to go astray, and then they're questioning, where is God? No, evolution is the way. There is no such thing as creation. Allah is not merciful. This hell, even atheists will tell you, God puts fear in us. Does he? Tell me, the atheist is not afraid? I say, get rid of it. There was an atheist who told me, he says, you know, my wife is a Catholic. She feels very secure with this fictitious God. He says, but I have to admit, one time I was on the boat with her. This is an atheist telling me personally. He says, I was on the boat with her and the storm started and we were about to capsize and we didn't have our life vests. And my wife was cool as a cucumber. And I was in a state of trepidation. I said, Mark, why? You'll go to nothing. It'll all be over. Don't have to worry. He says, no. Something made me really grab on. Allah says, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَذُلَلِي دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ وَمَا يَجْهَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلَّ خَطَّارٍ كَفُورٍ When the waves cover them, they turn to Allah sincerely. They turn, where are you, God? But when the things are nice, you notice, God, I don't need God. The sun rises, the sun sets, my plane takes off, my plane lands, my money buys me things, I need anything, I've got a nice house, I got engineers, I got architects. What do I need God for? Allah says, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ Notice that fear is actually the rope of guidance. That when you're in a state of trepidation, you really start to measure. You ever notice when people will listen to you the most? When we go to funerals. Weddings? Nobody wants to talk to you. Our necks are too high. Look at my suit. You see? $1,000 suit. All the gold I have. No. Show off. But funeral? Ya Allah. Inna lillah. Let's make dua. I says, good, good. Come, let's talk. We're going there too. We're aiming there. Let's start worrying about it. So when Allah says khawf, it's not bad. Imam Ali alayhi salam, whenever he used to say, I long for this death, the way a baby longs for the milk of its mother, it used to make me wonder how Allah, how I love this world, oh Allah. I love my security, I love my car, I love my house. Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, I want to go there. How can you go there? When he enters Masjid Kufa, he knows this Ibn Muljim is waiting for him with the sword. He knows his moment of meeting his Lord is around the corner, yet he meets the bull by the horns, that when that sword comes down, he says, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba, I have succeeded. I said, yeah, Imam, you are my leader. How do you say that? I don't have that capacity. Imam says, come and ask Allah to give you trials and tribulations. He will test you. You have two options, go away from him or go towards him. You are blessed if you go towards him, that he will make you strong the way he made our prophets and imams strong. And tonight I end Imam Zainul Abidin. These nights are in the shahada of Amir, if Imam Ali ibn Hussein Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. When I think of Imam Zainul Abidin, struggle upon struggle upon struggle, that his imamate started in a state of sickness, in the state of the most treacherous moment in history. No son should ever bear the witness of his father on a spear. No son. And of all the people, when your father is the chosen representative of God, when your father is the one who used to share saliva with the prophet, when your father is the one who the prophet said, Hussein minni wa ana min al-Hussein, Hussein is from me and I'm from him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's behavior was second to none. The Prophet loved him so much that the Prophet even gave up his two sons when Jibreel asked him, says, my son Ibrahim and Qasim, take them. I take Hassan and Hussein. That Imam Zainul Abidin has to witness this.
You know how painful that is? When we hear stories for 35 years, tomorrow we'll talk more for Shahada night. Allahu Akbar, my brothers and sisters, in the annals of history, when someone is given a direct hit by the enemy with such tragic consequences that their children were sought after even in Europe, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf and the Muawiyahs and the Umayyads of the time, anybody who had any relationship with Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, which hasn't stopped until today, it's happening in the Middle East too, kill them, butcher them. Recently, two Afghan youth in Sayyida Zainab that I met myself personally many years back, I saw a picture of their heads cut from their bodies. I saw that picture. Why? Because they love Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because they love Zainab alayhi salam, that they have to be beheaded. Because you love the doyen of women, Zainab alayhi salam, that because you love her, because she was so honest, she was so loving, she was so caring, that you have to be beheaded because of that. This is the world we live in today. If you love Ali ibn Abi Talib, be ready to be killed. If your name is Ali, if your name is Hassan, if your name is Zainab, if your name is Fatima, you are a threat. Threat for what? Because Shaitan says, these are the flag bearers of Allah. That's why they have to be killed. Allah says, then rise. Don't be afraid. Look in my representative. Look in my Zainul Abideen in Karbala. That when Imam Hussein says, Hal min nasirin yansuruna, he says, Labbaik ya. Oh Father, I'm here, my Father. You call me, I'm here. He rises and takes his sword, and while he's leaning on his sword, he says, Labbaik. Imam says, go back, my son. You are the next Imam. Can you imagine Imam starting at that point? History says that this blessed Imam was so pious, so generous. I am shaken with my thoughts that Allah said, look at my representative, that how many trials I put on this man. Yet he responds to me by doing good, by doing good, by doing good. This ayah yesterday I recited, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The highest examples were prophets and imams. Imam Zainul Abidin practiced this fully. He forgave people. The very people who chained him, the very people who prevented him from drinking water, he fed them. The very people who used to be harsh. This was a man by the name of Hisham bin Ismail who used to taunt the Imams and al-Abidin all the time. Then Walid ibn Marwan. You find Walid who was the leader of the time, had the same Hisham arrested. So now it was the time for the blessed Imam to take revenge on him. But the Imam goes in front of him, says, Salaamu Alaikum, you need anything? Can I help you? Can I serve you? The story is constant in Karbala. You see people, even Ibn Marjan, even if you find personalities like these, come to the Imam. The Imam was always kind to them. Wal kadhimin al ghayb. But the first command of our Imam, and I end tonight, as an Imam, and I want you to think, please. Nobody could bear this kind of trial. None of us. But Allah says these are signs for you that when you have problems in life, remember the dhikr of Ahlul Bayt. Dhikr of Ahlul Bayt is towards Allah. Just mentioning them, remembering the sufferings of Imam Hussein, the sufferings of Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, is ibadah in the sense Allah is saying, look, I'm going to give you problems. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have problems. Don't turn away from me. Use them as an example. Look at this representative of mine that he wrote Sahifa Sajjadiyah and gave it to mankind for 35 years. What are you doing? That while food was taken away from him, that while he was chained and he was even scarred, that in the dark of the night without any recognition, he would hood himself, the Imam, and he would go and feed the poor. Are we reacting? with these trials and tribulations. Allah says, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Hold on with patience and prayer. This is difficult, except the khashi'een, except the ones who are humble. This is why the imam is so important. They say that when the tents were getting burned, the imam was still lying in bed. He saw his father's head on the spear. Historians say Imam Zainul Abidin went into sujood and said, Ridham Mikala. What a sneem and the amri. We submit to Allah. We have come for you. Qulina salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. The tents were getting burned and the women were running tent to tent. And all of them came into the tent of Imam Zainul Abidin, which then even got burned. But Zainab alayhi salam looks at Imam Zainul Abidin and said, Ya Imam al-Waqt, oh the Imam of the time, what command do you give us now? Our tents are getting burnt. Can you imagine the first command of our blessed Imam is to tell the women, go out and run. Go run outside, take refuge. You know how difficult it is that Imam Zainul Abidin was asked, what was the most painful thing in your 35 years after Karbala? He said, Asham, 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 Allahu Akbar, ala la'natullahi lil qawm al-zalimeen. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Al-Fatiha.